This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Just how the Patriots drew that one up, huh? A 37-31 win over the Buffalo Bills here in New England. Patriots still have not lost at home to the Buffalo Bills since before Tom Brady was a starting quarterback. It was the year 2000, the last time Buffalo came in here and beat the Pats. New England improves to 6-3 with the victory today over Buffalo. And look, obviously, if you're watching this thing, the defense for the Patriots is a complete mess right now. Couldn't stop the Bills through the air. Couldn't stop them on the ground, which we'll get to momentarily. So whoever you want on the defense, take your pick, could be on the bad list here tonight in this loss. Patriots moved it pretty well offensively. There was some more head-scratching play calling when the Patriots took over the football. Some conservative play calling, that three and out late in the game, really had a chance to hurt the Patriots. But again, the defense, and it wasn't just the secondary this time. It was the run defense. It was the pass defense, obviously down. So I've singled out a few people and identified a few areas where I think they particularly struggled. But again, we'll hear from you throughout the course of this one. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. What'd you think of this win over the Bills? We spent a lot of time on the pregame show discussing whether or not the Patriots would run the table in the second half. I guess theoretically they can still do it. But that's certainly not the start a lot of Patriots were looking for, despite picking up a 37-31 win over Buffalo. It was sealed, of course, by Devin McCourty. I have no clue, zero clue, where Ryan Fitzpatrick was throwing that football. I did tweet on the Bills' final drive. Knowing Buffalo, they'd probably go into the end zone and fumble, or be on their way into the end zone and fumble. Pretty close to it. Pretty close to hitting on that one with the pick by Devin McCourty. I don't know if that was as much about the Patriots winning this one or just the Bills. This is sort of how they lose games, particularly to the Patriots, particularly in New England. Again, Patriots win it by 6 over Buffalo to improve to 6-3. They open up their lead a little bit in the AFC East with Miami looming. We'll get to that later on when we go around the AFC East. First, let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Well, kicking off the good list has to be Devin McCourty. With the way you seal that game, I don't care if it's a bad throw. I don't care if he didn't have to do a lot for it. Remember, Brandon Spikes had a chance to get one and couldn't come up with it. So at least he pulled the thing in, and he seals the game for the Patriots. I think Devin McCourty has to be on that list. Look, it's not perfect in that secondary. We know that. But Devin McCourty seems like a more comfortable fit at safety, which is where the Patriots stuck him. And I don't know if that has a lot to do with the interception particularly, but I do think he looks a lot more comfortable at safety. We'll see, with the addition of Aqib Talib starting next week, where Devin McCourty lines up. But that pick to seal the game obviously puts him on top of the good list as the Patriots win at 37-31. I thought Danny Woodhead played really well, especially in the first half. Couple of touchdowns for Woodhead, had four catches for 46 yards and a touchdown. Also, just the one carry for 15 yards, but a score. And one of them was a big third down play for Danny Woodhead. That reception, the 18-yard catch with Brady keeping it alive in the pocket, I thought that was a big touchdown at the time. It was only a 7-point game when Woodhead scored that first touchdown. And also on the good list for me, Vince Wilfork. He's always so steady for this Patriots defense, but I thought the forced fumble early really opened things up for the Pats. It set them up at the Buffalo 13-yard line, and you were then able to see the Patriots punch it in from there. The first of two touchdowns for Stephen Ridley, who I also thought played well. I just thought there were better performers from the Patriots today. On the bad side, the Patriots' run defense, if you're going to single out a part of it, to me, that's more egregious. We know the pass defense is bad. And they gave up over 300 yards, again, to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Seems like he does this every time the Patriots played. Couple touchdowns through the air, 337. I didn't think Dennard played great in the secondary today. I thought he came back to the pack a little bit. There were some plays out there where he really struggled, including on that touchdown at the end of the game by Donald Jones, where he was picked going into the end zone. But I thought the rush defense was more egregious from the Patriots. 162 yards on the ground for the Bills, season high allowed by New England, and it could have been worse. You just wonder why the Bills don't use C.J. Spiller back there more. Like, I just don't get it. The guy only had 9 carries in the game. Every time he touched the football, he had 13 total touches. I think Patriots fans' hearts stopped. So I have no idea why he doesn't touch it more. But the Bills still get 162 yards on the ground. This is a bit of an odd one because the Bills were the team that got penalized so much today. And it was 14 penalties for 148 yards. But I thought the Patriots and two of their better linebackers took some bad ones in the fourth quarter. I thought the Brandon Spikes roughing the passer was inexcusable. Just a dumb, dumb play by Spikes. And I thought Mayo had a pretty bad one later on in the fourth quarter. So I thought those were inexcusable penalties when you're trying to put the Bills away.
Idiot!
You can't, exactly, Kevin. You can't just let them pick up first downs and get extra yards. And I thought the Spikes one was especially bad. Finally on the bad list for me, I know Tom Brady agrees with this one, Julian Edelman, who didn't break off a route, apparently, with the pass rush coming in, and Brady had to rifle one into the ground, and you saw the CBS cameras catch Edelman just getting reamed out by Tom Brady. Reamed out by Tom Brady. So I thought Edelman was on the bad list as well. As I said earlier, though, you can obviously pick anything off the Patriots defense, and you're not wrong. When you give up 300-plus passing yards to Ryan Fitzpatrick and a season high on the ground and over 30 points to the Bills, you're not wrong. So chime in with your own good and bad lists. You can email them to webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call, 508-298-0398. We'll take your thoughts on this Patriots win, 37-31 over the Bills. Also, didn't get to the injuries today for the Patriots. Couple of significant ones. Logan Mankins left the game with what was called an ankle injury. Remember, he was a game-time decision, wound up starting for the Pats. He was replaced by Nick McDonald at left guard. The right guard was also replaced. Dan Connolly left with what was called a back injury. He was replaced by Donald Thomas. So the Patriots lose both of their starting guards in this one. Neither returned. It's something we'll keep you up to speed on as we get the injury updates in dribs and drabs coming out of the Patriots locker room after beating the Bills. 37-31 here in Foxborough. Again, they have not lost to Buffalo in New England since the year 2000. They're able to keep that streak intact, and more importantly, they move to 6-3 overall on the season. It is the Dunkin' Donuts, check that, the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. And some bigger picture things we want to start looking to, beyond just the game today, and we'll take your thoughts on that throughout the course of this one. But some bigger picture things with McCourty getting the game-saving interception. Now, do you want to see him stick at safety? And where do you want to see Aqib Talib line up in this secondary? I think all Patriots fans have to hope that his addition is going to be a big boost for that back four or five, whatever it is for the Patriots, whether you're in your base package or your sub package. You got to hope that he comes in and is a plus for the secondary. And I do think McCourty at safety has been a plus. I thought Gregory came back and didn't look good today. And I already mentioned Dennard, who gave up some plays out there. You know, just looking over my notes, 22-yarder early in the game to Donald Jones. You know, Dennard gave up the 4th-and-4 to Steve Johnson early on in the second half, which led to, eventually, the Fred Jackson touchdown that pulled the Bills back within a point. He gave up a 21-yarder on 3rd down to Stevie Johnson.
Wasn't that the 3rd-and-9, too, like right around the 2-minute
yeah,
warning?
Yeah, exactly. That was the one to Stevie Johnson. That was the one on the Bills' final drive.
Yeah, you get him backed up 3rd-and-9 on their own 20.
And he's the one who got picked on the touchdown on the drive before that. So, look, I want Dennard starting. And I think, on balance this year, he's been your most competitive cornerback. I just didn't think he was great today. Didn't have him on the bad list or anything. I don't think he stood out today. So, with Aqib Talib looming, what does that mean for Devin McCourty? Where do you want to see him line up? 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We were discussing again on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. What are the Patriots' chances they run the table in the second half? They've done it the last 2 years, right? They did it in 2011. They did it in 2010 with mixed results in the playoffs. But they've done it two straight years. What's the likelihood they do it? And none of us on the pregame show felt they would, but we all thought, okay, 6-7 wins in the second half is an entirely reasonable assumption. Well, you struggled with Fitzpatrick today. Now Andrew Luck is next. I'm not saying I think the Colts are going to beat the Patriots, but you have to look at the second half maybe a little bit differently now. You start with a victory, which is what all Pats fans are looking for. You start with the win, but how likely is it they run the table in the second half? That's another question out there for you. Sun Life Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. And Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. You hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in a little over 20 minutes. We'll also get to Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in the next hour. And of course, we'll go around the AFC East. It's all coming up here on the postgame show. Do want to get to your feedback, your thoughts on this win, and particularly that Patriots defense, which struggled any way you slice it up, through the air or on the ground. Let's hit some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. John's in California. John, what'd you think of that game today?
Well, you know, they were okay. I thought the secondary really struggled. Brady looked pretty on target, you know, except for a couple batted down balls, but though that, you know, that's not his fault or anything. Dennard, I thought, looked decent on a couple plays, and he looked awful on a couple. I think he's probably over time he'll get better. And then as far as Aqib Talib coming in next week, I think he'll definitely, you know, shore up that secondary a little more, maybe help us out defensively there.
Yeah, I mean, look, and John, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I think he's going to help. And I haven't understood the people getting on their moral high horse with the Aqib Talib move. It's a fourth-round pick. Everyone who's saying that's a significant amount of draft capital, well, maybe that's the way it's viewed in the league. But I like that the Patriots moved up in the first round to get Chandler Jones, something we discussed on the pregame show. I like that they moved up to get Dante Hightower, who's another guy who did not have a strong game today. That one drive where Scott Chandler caught his first touchdown, I believe. Or no, check it. It was actually the Fred Jackson rushing touchdown. Chandler had two big catches on it. 23 yards, 17 yards. Hightower was covering on both, a step late. And he's also the guy who let Fred Jackson spin away from him and get into the end zone. Still, I've been encouraged by what we've seen out of those two young rookies. I like that the Patriots used future draft capital and moved up. Hell, I like the idea of the Patriots targeting Ocho Cinco and Albert Haynesworth last year. It didn't work out, but I like that idea. And the Aqib Talib move is in that same vein. It's giving up future assets, which I don't think are significant, a fourth-round pick, giving up future assets for your team this year. How many times have people, myself included, said, look, Tom Brady only has so many years left. And if that's the case, then you have to get this defense up to speed. And I'm not saying he's going to be the savior back there, but I don't see how he can be worse. And I don't see how another addition back there can possibly hurt the Patriots, and I have zero problem with giving up a fourth-round pick. The way they draft cornerbacks? Are you kidding me? What, you think they're going to find a guy like that in the second round? Just like they found Darius Butler and Tyrone Wheatley and Rashai Dowling? So I'd give up that fourth-round pick every day of the week. And I would start he and Dennard. And I would put McCourty back there, and when Chung's healthy, that's probably the guy I'd line him up next to. And trust me, Chung's been all over my bad list all season. I don't think he's been strong, but I think Gregory's been worse. And I think Tavon Wilson at this point in his career is still a sub-package guy. So that would be my secondary. Talib and Dennard with McCourty and Chung as your two safeties. And maybe next week we get a look at that, and hopefully it helps. Because this was a nail-biter of epic proportions for Patriots fans. 37-31, the win over the Bills. They moved to 6-3. Gotta tell you, it doesn't really feel like it, though, huh? Like, with that Jets game 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, this feels exactly like that game. A game that the Patriots seemingly had in hand, but they had to go to overtime against the Jets, and they probably should have lost in regulation. And then you have this game today where Buffalo came out of nowhere. And really, they're the team that shot themselves in the foot. They fumbled once going into the end zone. They threw another end zone pick. So, I don't know. They're 6-3, and yar what yar at the end of the day. I understand that's their record. But just from talking to Patriots fans It doesn't feel like a quality 6-3, and there's been a few of these nail biters. So again, the question is, what do you project from this team going forward in the second half, especially on defense?
Yeah, Jones, I gotta you know, break in for a second.
Sure.
Just because I'm frustrated.
Sure.
For those of you listening, obviously you're doing the right thing, but we're getting some more emails saying, "Oh, Jones, you've been cut due to the post game pressers." That's not the case. There's two freaking channels on the website and in the app. And if you just click post game show, I know that's tough, post game show and not post game pressures, you will hear this man, Adam Jones, that we speak of.
We got a lot of emails like this the last time we were on, too, the Rams game, which was 3 weeks ago or whatever it was now.
Frustrating, Jones.
And Kevin was equally ticked off. So just make sure you click on the post game link and not on the post game press conference link.
I just went on my iPhone.
And you won't be cut off.
I clicked on post game show.
Look at Kevin with his big fancy iPhone.
And I could
throwing
hear
that in
your dulcet
face.
Tones right through my iPhone. So I know it works.
Great. Well, Kevin got that off his chest. Patriots fans, you can get all your thoughts from this one off your chest as well. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Robin in Florida. What'd you think of that game, Robin?
Hey, Adam. You know, I know the defense gets a lot of slack, and then deservedly so, but you know what? I really think we need to blitz more. I mean, Fitzpatrick had all the time in the world back there. Any secondary is going to be in a tough position with all that time that Fitzpatrick has back there to throw. So I think if we blitz more, we put a lot less pressure on that secondary. And that's just my take on this, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, Fouts was saying it the whole broadcast, right? Among the other perplexing things he was saying, I actually thought this was a pretty salient point. The Patriots, and he's not the first one to ask for it. You know, when they dialed up pressure on Fitz, you made him make decisions quickly, and he made poor ones in general. Like, he had all day on that interception at the end of the game. That was one of the few poor decisions he made when he had all day to throw. So, you know, I know that's not the philosophy of Belichick. We don't see him dial up pressure an awful lot. But I think Patriots fans want more of it. Now, do I think we'll actually see it? No. I think this is what Belichick thinks is best for his defense. That's what I believe, because we just haven't seen a ton of the dialed up pressure over the course of the years with Bill Belichick. And by the way, not a ton of pressure from that Patriots front. We mentioned the Wilfork sack. I believe Ninkovich had another one. Yeah, Ninkovich was the other Patriots player, along with Jermaine Cunningham, to get in there and sack Ryan Fitzpatrick today. And that was your push from up front. And I did feel like there were other times where Chandler Jones and Justin Francis had a nice pressure early on in the game. I mean, there are other times where, you know, Fitzpatrick couldn't completely get set or didn't look totally comfortable in the pocket, and that's what you want against Ryan Fitzpatrick. But more pressure, is it a schematic thing with the Patriots defense? You know, that's something the Patriots fans have called for on this program and elsewhere before. You can chime in, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Speaking of the emails, let's work through these for a second, just since we were on Tlaib. Bill Berry writes in, "Adam, I forgot when I said it, but I said if the Patriots gave up more than 15 points, I would panic and go get a questionable character DB. I had the wrong position. Would you say a lineman or a linebacker? Or can Aqib Talib tackle C.J. Spiller?" Look, they got the questionable character defensive back. That's Aqib Talib. But you're right. Maybe they do need to add somebody else in that front seven. Look, I will say that on Spiller, he's averaging 7 yards a carry this year, right? Over it. So the Patriots aren't the only team struggling to tackle Spiller. He averaged almost 8 today, 9 carries for 70 yards. Chan Gailey is C.J. Spiller's biggest issue. Like, I don't get how they don't use that guy more. He looked incredible. You know, and you could see it. The speed jumped off your television. So, as it pertains to Spiller, a lot of teams have trouble tackling him. But, you know, when you give up as many yards as they did on the ground, and they had some poor tackling. We mentioned Hightower trying to bring down Fred Jackson, and he spun out of it. So it wasn't just with C.J. Spiller. And in general, I think the front seven's been pretty good for the Patriots this year. Not perfect, but I think it's been pretty good. The secondary has been the issue, in my view, all year. And if you listen to this show, you know that's my feeling on it. I'm far from alone on that one. I think in general, the front seven's been good. I think this is more of a hiccup. They've shut down some good backs this year. And they've shut down some good rushing attacks this year. So I'm not overly concerned about what C.J. Spiller did today. I just think on this particular day, it's something you had to point out. and it was certainly on the bad list for me. Let's continue with your phone call. Sean's in Pennsylvania. Sean, what'd you think of the game today?
I tell you what happened, man. Poor tackling. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, look, I single out, Sean, that play where Jackson just spun away from Dante Hightower, and that was all just one bad drive from Hightower. I said, couldn't stick with Scott Chandler. And, you know, Chandler's 6'7". And Hightower was right there on some of those throws. I mean, he was a step slow, but you're still the guy in coverage giving up those big passes down the seam. And then, the one thing he is supposed to do, if he's not great in pass coverage, fine. Does he have the build to be a pass coverage linebacker? And especially as a rookie, is that something you expect? Probably not. But you do have to be able to bring down a running back when he's stacked up at the line. And that's something that he couldn't do today. So I didn't think it was his strongest effort. I think he's been very good through the first 8 games of the year when he was out there. And I think those picks have been encouraging. I think the entire draft class has been encouraging. You know, we mentioned Dennard earlier. We mentioned Chandler Jones earlier. Even Tavon Wilson, when he's been out there, yes, there have been problems when he's been one of your top two safeties. But when he's been out there in sub packages, I think he's looked pretty good. So for me, you know, I think on balance, that draft class has done a lot for this Patriots team. And I think most of those additions have helped. I don't know that it was the strongest day today, but I think in general, that draft class has been pretty good for the Patriots this year. They beat the Buffalo Bills 37-31 here in Foxborough to improve to 6-3. It's the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, I promise. But right now, joining us from the victorious Patriots locker room, their center, Ryan Wendell, joining us here on Patriots.com. First of all, Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time.
You got it. Good to be with you, Adam.
Now, Ryan, when you're there on the sidelines and you're watching the Bills driving down the field at the end of the game, what's the feeling? What's going through your mind there?
It was nerve-wracking. You know, my heart was beating, but all I was doing was cheering on my defense, trying to be there for them. I had great faith in those guys that they were going to get it done, and obviously they did.
You guys have moved to 6-3 at this stage in the year. What was the message from Belichick in the locker room after the win?
After the win, it was, you know, there's plenty of things that we need to get better at and improve on, but this was a big win, you know. It helped put us ahead of the Bills in the division. And, you know, each game gets more and more important because there's less and less games.
In general, with these divisional games, Ryan, how much does Belichick stress precisely what you just said? You know, the divisional games and beating these divisional opponents to make up ground in the AFC East?
Just because of the way, you know, the playoffs are formatted, divisional games are so important because it not only, you know, puts a win in our column, but puts a loss and someone that we're directly competing with. So that's huge. And these games are so important because we play these teams twice. We know them really well, and it's so difficult to beat the same team twice. So just the focus and the work that we have to put in to beat the same team twice is very high.
Patriots center Ryan Wendell joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Ryan, another 98 yards for Stephen Ridley today. He came in among the leading rushers in the AFC. What have you seen from him in terms of differences from his rookie year to this season?
Well, first, if we had blocked a little better, I'm sure it would have been over 100. So hopefully we can keep doing that. And Ridley's just getting better every week, and he's doing what the coaches are asking. And what we as an offensive lineman want is when there's yards there for him to get them, and when there's not yards for him to make them himself, and that's what he's doing. And I love to watch him run because he runs so hard, and he makes the defense pay for tackling him.
You guys have gotten him plenty of 100-yard games so far this season, so you don't need to apologize for that. Finally, Ryan, before we let you go here, what does it do for the offensive line when on basically consecutive plays you're losing Dan Connolly, or consecutive drives, rather, you're losing Dan Connolly and Logan Mankins?
It's tough anytime a guy goes down. You never want to see that happen. But I was so impressed by the way that Donald Thomas came in and played and Nick McDonald came in and played. It's very difficult, you know, for the people at home that don't know that it's so tough to be a guy on the sideline, to be ready in a moment's notice when a guy goes down and you're in going full speed against a really good defensive line. And those guys came in and stepped up and shored up the middle of the line and did enough to help us win.
All right, he is Patriots center Ryan Wendell. Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills 37-31 to move to 6-3. Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time here on thepatriots.com.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ryan Wendell joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. And look, I thought the offensive line, you know, did a phenomenal job protecting Brady throughout the course of the day. The last drive was really one of the only suspect times, right? The last drive when the Patriots got down there and you're trying to punch it in for a touchdown, they had to settle for a 27-yard field goal. There were back-to-back pressures on second and third down where Brady had to rush it a little bit. But in general, they kept him clean today. And they opened up holes on the ground as well. So I think the offensive line, you know, I know he's being somewhat facetious there and saying, well, if we blocked a little bit better, we could have gotten him 100, which is a good thing. You know, you want to have those high standards. But I don't think the offensive line was the problem today. And the Patriots do get that 37-31 win over the Buffalo Bills. Continue with your emails here to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Gabriel writes in. Adam, why do the Patriots only pressure with three or four? This is a question we got earlier. The secondary isn't good, but no secondary would be with the amount of time that Fitzy had. I'm tired of this bend and then bend some more defense. And that is sort of what we saw today, right? It's a good name for it. The bend and bend some more defense. That's basically what the Patriots did. Twice, the Bills got to the goal line. Once, Freddie Jackson fumbled on the way in, and that was McCourty who forced that one out, which, by the way, I neglected to mention when I have McCourty on the good list. Knocked out a fumble and had the pick in the end zone. So McCourty was a part of both of those turnovers, which I failed to mention earlier. But, you know, some of that is just the Bills shooting themselves in the foot. You know, how much can you rely on that going forward? One more email here to webradio@patriots.com. Subject line, bad list. Wes Welker. He's made a habit of dropping big third downs, yet catchable balls. I mean, to say he's made a habit of it, I think is a bit misleading, because I've, this year, singled out some games where he had big catches on third downs to keep things going for the Patriots when they were trying to run out the clock and run out time on some victories. I know the Denver game was one of those games that I singled out earlier where, you know, Welker, when you're trying to run things down at the end of a game, really had a big catch, and he's who Brady looks to. I thought the Buffalo game the first time around was another where the Patriots were trying to put Buffalo away. Those were back-to-back games where I thought Wes Welker, you know, really helped you out on third down. So to say it's a consistent problem with Welker, I disagree with that. And obviously everyone goes to the Super Bowl. It's a horrific drop. I always said it was a drop by Welker. I don't think that was on Brady. But he did have two today. And one, everybody was bending over backwards to say it was the sun. Remember, Welker on the opening drive would have been going untouched into the end zone. That was the dancer play, by the way. You're not watching on television, Kevin, like I was doing here in studio. Kevin Collins is out on the field. But Dan Fouts singled this out on the broadcast. You could pick it up with Brady just yelling, "Dancer, dancer," at the line. Apparently it's a slant to Wes Welker. Next time you're watching, that's the play call, is what Fouts pointed out. And Welker just drops it going into the end zone, and people bent over backwards to say it was the sun or whatever it was, and maybe it was, but he had another drop on the Patriots' second-to-last drive, and it was another big one. So I think Welker's had some uncharacteristic drops this season, but who knows? Maybe that's becoming the new norm, and that's part of it. You know, he used to be so sure-handed, and he has dropped quite a few this year. So I guess it's a way of me saying maybe you can't trust him as much as you used to be able to, or maybe his hands have let him down a little bit more this year, but still, on third down, that's who I'd be throwing the ball to if I'm Tom Brady. I wouldn't let the drops affect whether or not I'd be throwing to Wes Welker. That's just my feeling on it. It's a Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I see you guys hanging out on the phones. I promise we will get there next. And you'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 37-31 win here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you live here in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Get into your phone calls momentarily, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in about 5 minutes. Patriots get that 37-31 win over Buffalo. I've mentioned a number of times they moved to 6-3, and Ryan Wendell, when he just joined us, pointed this out, and I failed to underscore it. They also moved to 3-0 in the division. And we go around the AFC East during the postgame show, and we'll do that coming up in about an hour. But with Miami falling, the Jets are playing right now. You just beat Buffalo to push them to 3-6. So it's looking like the division is getting closer and closer to wrapped up. And maybe Miami isn't as legit as we thought, because they got waxed today at home by Tennessee. So the next phase, after you at least appear to have the division wrapped up, or be in the driver's seat, probably is a better way of putting it, is some of that seeding. How do things shake out? And a game to keep an eye on tonight, especially since the Ravens already won, is to see what the Texans do. And Patriots fans, if you're hoping for a bye or the number one seed in the AFC or whatever it is, you should be rooting against Houston tonight when they take on the Chicago Bears. So something to keep an eye on. If you're not planning on watching the Sunday night football game and you're looking for a Patriots angle, I would say there's one for you. But Patriots do move to 3-0 in the division. And as Ryan Wendell said, and as Bill Belichick stresses, that's important. Undefeated in the division, opening up a lead in the division, that means you'll be playing, you know, come January. And that's the goal for this team every single year, and more often than not, they get there. Let's go back to the phones here. 508-298-0398. Tracy is in Ohio. What'd you think of that game today, Tracy?
Seems like that's a weekly thing. I think the record 6-3, you said, you know, it's a questionable 6-3. It definitely is. Think about the fact, though, if they score two more points against Seattle, two more against Baltimore, and three more against Arizona, we're talking about a questionable 9-0.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's true.
That's an amazing thing.
I mean, it's true. You can play that game the other way, though, too. You know, if
sure.
Fitz doesn't have a terrible throw here, if the Jets don't completely implode at the end of regulation, I mean, you can play that game the other way, but you're right. I mean, if you're looking for a glass half full angle, you're absolutely right, Tracy.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it seems like this is going to be the year where that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and I guess my feeling on it, and thanks for the phone call, and maybe this is the best way to put it. Does this feel like a defense that's going to make those plays come playoff time? You know, against, theoretically, better quarterback play. Now, you didn't exactly see that in the playoffs last year. I am pro Tim Tebow, but, you know, I don't exactly think of him as somebody who picks you apart going down the field. And I don't think very highly of Joe Flacco either. And he's doing his best to make me change my mind on that this year with the way he's been playing. Four more touchdowns today from Flacco. But those are the guys you ran into. So certainly it could work out that way come the postseason. But do you want to see Roethlisberger or Flacco again, who carved you up in the AFC Championship game, or Matt Schaub? You know, those are the kind of quarterbacks you're going to see come postseason time. And not that they're, you know, the Peyton Mannings of the world, who's another guy you could see and who carved you up earlier this year, or the Aaron Rodgerses of the world, or the Drew Breeses, or Matt Ryan. Those guys mostly reside in the NFC. So I do think you have the easier task, but is the defense going to come up with those type of stops in the postseason? Obviously, we don't know the answer, but how do you feel about it? I think that's an important question to roll out there as well, because you're likely not going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick come postseason time. So how do you feel about the Patriots' chances of getting a stop when they need it, theoretically in the playoffs? You can weigh in, 508-298-0398. And again, the thing that bothered me more today was not so much giving up yards through the air, just to reiterate. I know the Patriots do that. I'm familiar with this secondary over the last couple of years. However, the trade-off has normally been they at least stop the run, and they didn't do that today. Let's go back to the phones. Al is in New Jersey. What'd you think of that game today, Al?
Adam, I loved it. You know, we talk about the bad defense, and we just keep on winning. I look at it this way. We could easily be 9-0. We're in first place, 6-3. We're 3-0 in the division, and the defense won the game. McCourty had an interception. What more can you want? And we shall improve.
Well, look, that is a glass-half-full way of looking at it, Al. I don't disagree, and hang out here for a second, because you're right. They did get the stop. They did get what they needed to at the end of the game, but you can't tell me you're encouraged or have even seen improvement from the defense from week one until now.
Well, you know, I look at it this way, and I always have. When you talk about the Patriots, teams always have to throw the ball to catch up. And when you throw the ball, you're going to give up the long yardage. You can't hit the receivers high. You can't hit them low. You can't hit the quarterbacks. So you're going to give up those type of passes. Now, next week we have Aqib Talib coming.
Yep.
And the secondary will definitely improve. You know, we missed with a lousy secondary last year. We only missed the winning the Super Bowl by one play. That was it. So I am encouraged. You know what? If you're a Pat fan and you're not encouraged the way we go, look at the Jets. You want to be a Jets fan?
No. I mean, no one's saying that, Al. And I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate the optimism. I do. I wish I saw it the same way you did. I just haven't seen improvement from the defense. Now, they did get a stop at the end of the day today. At the end of the game, rather. They got the stop that you needed. And they forced a couple other fumbles. Three fumbles in this one. There were a ton of penalties in this game, not all of which are just poor execution by the Bills. Some of those you have to give the Patriots credit for. I mentioned Wilfork drew a holding penalty. Cunningham drew a holding penalty. So that's, you know, high motor, high effort, and drawing the penalty, not just a bad call or a false start or something like that. So there are some encouraging things. And if you're a Patriots fan, what Al just said on Tlaib, that is something you can hitch your wagons to. If Tlaib is legit, and he has been legit before in the NFL, you know, I don't think anybody expects him to be Revis or anything like that, but he has a chance to come in and be your best corner, which doesn't say a lot given the way your cornerbacks have played. But if you want to tell me, well, Aqib Tlaib will turn it around, nobody knows that answer, but I at least understand that thought process. He would be an upgrade at cornerback. I do feel like he's an upgrade at cornerback. So if that's the case, even if it's just over Arrington, even if it's not better than Dennard, if it's just better than Arrington, in theory, you're upgrading things. And I like McCourty better on the back line. I've been slow to come around on that, but I do. So I do think you make the secondary incrementally better, which, again, by definition, you're improving, but is it enough to get a stop when you need it and win a game when you need it? They did today, but it was Buffalo and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think that's the caliber of opponent you're going to see in the postseason. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Keeping you up to speed on that Jets game. They're tied with Seattle right now in the second quarter.
Thank God Mark Sanchez doesn't play for us.
Tom Brady's boy, Richard Sherman, just picked off Mark Sanchez with the Jets trying to go in and jump in front of the Seattle Seahawks on the road there in the second quarter. So that one's still 7-7, and we'll keep you up to speed on that. Let's continue with these phone calls. Ken's in Orange County. What you think of that game today, Ken?
Adam, let's just put the obvious out there. Be an optimist here. Great to get a win today.
You know, I got to tell you, and not to and hang out for a second, Ken, but, you know, Kevin, the calls have been relatively positive, which I'm honestly surprised at, because it wasn't like this after the Jets game. So the calls have been relatively positive thus far. But, Ken, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
Other than that, I mean, it's, you know, good to build off of that, but we'll hit the good and the bad list real quick here.
Sure.
Good list today. I had to run. Woodhead had a great game. Good to see that. I did like to see Brandon Lloyd used, you know, inside the hashes today. Gives you a little different dynamic on the offensive game, but still kind of the same complaints out of the defense. But we'll see where they go. D line tackling was poor, and then you know, just the secondary passing again. But
yeah, but
hold on it.
But that can be every week. You're right, Ken. You know, and you mentioned Indianapolis, and thanks for the phone call. You mentioned Indianapolis. It'll be an interesting matchup. It'll be an interesting matchup when you're talking about someone in Andrew Luck who's just thrown it all over the field, come in as a rookie, and looked every bit the real deal he was projected to be and hyped up to be. And I said this all along. I totally thought it was a defensible move, what the Colts did, from a football standpoint, moving on from Peyton Manning. And Manning's been excellent this year as well. But I just thought it made football sense to move on from Peyton Manning. Now, how'd the fan base feel about it? The Colts publicly said some weird things, specifically Jim Irsay. So I don't know that the process was great, but no one in Indianapolis was probably going to enjoy that process, right? I understand that. From a football standpoint, totally defensible. So how do the Patriots fare against Andrew Luck next week? We'll look at that game more, obviously, on the pregame show next Sunday in a game that's already been flexed to 4 o'clock, which tells you how the NFL is thinking about this one. But, you know, if Ryan Fitzpatrick, let's put it this way, if he's throwing for 330 yards and some scores on you, you know, what's Luck going to do? And I know it doesn't completely work out that way, but I think Luck has better weapons and he's been a better quarterback this year. 508-298-0398. Let's go to our buddy Mel in Tennessee. Mel, what'd you think of that game today?
Well, I guess I can be one of your first calls to say I was highly displeased. That was horrible.
That's talking some sense, Mel. I like it.
Yeah.
Talking some sense into these fans.
Please. I mean, you're one Chandler touchdown in the deep end zone away from, you know, I bet everybody would be highly upset then, because that was pathetic. It reminded me of the Redskins game last year when you're just having to shoot out and they constantly could put pressure on this offense to keep scoring.
You know what? I think that's a pretty good comparison. That was another one that they got to stop at the end of the game, right, Mel? If I'm not mistaken,
right.
That's a good comparison.
I think that was Mayo and
it was Mayo's pick. Yep. Yeah, like
yeah.
A 5-yard line.
Good,
right. So
good comparison.
I mean, yeah, it just reminded me of that game and just constantly having to keep shoot up. We didn't have safety play that. Just cut Sterling Moore that game. And safety play wasn't where it needs to be. And I'm just concerned that Tlaib won't be able to fix his pass coverage. It's not only one guy, you know. It was a group. You know, I don't know which one of the linebackers leaving tight ends wide open. I would think if any team would know how to cover a tight end on practice, if you play against Hernandez and Gronk all the time, you don't leave tight ends wide open.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was mostly, not completely, and Melvin, thanks for the phone call, but it was mostly Hightower. And we talked about this on the pregame show. Like, how many coverage linebackers are there really in the NFL? And especially, who comes in as a rookie and just immediately goes from jump street and is a shutdown coverage linebacker? They don't really exist in today's NFL. Now, that being said, Hightower was the one who was exposed the most. I talked about the two Chandler plays down the seam, and then later on that drive, he let Freddie Jackson spin out of a tackle and get into the end zone on a 14-yarder. Well, the next drive, he's the guy who was supposed to be in coverage on Scott Chandler's 3-yard touchdown. So I just think on this particular day, he's the one who was exposed the most in terms of pass coverage on the tight ends. But it's been a mixture. I think all those guys have been exposed at times. Spike certainly has, so has Mayo in the past. Today it was Hightower. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Chris writes in from Tennessee. Adam, didn't get to watch the game today, but listened on radio. Gil said the linebackers struggled, tying in with that last call. So how would you rate the performance of our linebackers? By the way, love the show and think you guys are doing a great job. Well, I appreciate that, Chris. How did the linebackers play today? Well, I'll tell you, when you give up 162 yards, the most rushing yards you've given up all season, it's not just on the linebackers per se, and I was talking about their coverage before, which it seems like Scott Chandler and Ryan Fitzpatrick have it figured out against the Pats. He's got 3 touchdowns against them this year and has made an impact in each game, but I would say the more alarming thing is that rushing yardage total. And the guys up front need to do their job as well. But in general, you're asking linebackers to make plays in this defense. You're asking linebackers to make tackles and bring guys down, and I don't know that we saw a ton of that today. So if I had to grade them, C- for the day. You know, you're giving up plays in the passing game. You gave up a season high on the ground. So I don't know. That would be a knee-jerk reaction for me. C-, I guess, for the linebackers are going to pin me down. We'll continue to hear from you. 508-298-0398. Your thoughts on this game today. Your thoughts on the defense, which we knew gave up yards through the air. Apparently, they're giving up yards on the ground as well. And if you want to take that more positive approach, all right, they're 6-3. They're 3-0 in the division. With Tlaib coming in, can he help things? And can the Patriots run the table in the second half? We'll get to all those thoughts coming up. But first, let's head to the podium. Hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 37-31 win over the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I'll just start with saying for myself and on behalf of the team, you know, how much appreciation we have today, Veterans Day, and how we honor the veterans before the game, and how appreciative we are for all that our servicemen, all the armed forces do for us and give us the opportunity to go out there and do what we did today. And so without them, we all know that really is part of our way of life, and they protected for us, and we appreciate that. So good to win, like usual, tough matchup with Buffalo. You know, they do a good job, fought us right to the end. But, you know, we made the plays that we needed to make, and wasn't perfect, of course, a lot of work to do. Got to keep working to get better, but in the end, the turnovers, I think, were the difference. And, you know, just move on to Indianapolis. You know, we use all of our backs. So, you know, there's no, I mean, really, you guys think that we, you know, like every game, you know, it's this, oh, this guy's got all these plays. Next game, somebody else has all those plays. We don't know. But they all played. They all contributed. You know, they all were productive. So, and Danny made some good plays, no doubt about it.
Bill, have you seen some kind of game rushing over the guard? You've done that quite a bit this year, moving in
that role. He has been productive. He has been productive. Yeah, well, just trying to get, you know, our best guys on the field, best pass rushers on the field. He's one of them, and he's had production for us. Really, it's grown. You know, he's got a better feel for it. You know, he handles a lot of communication there on the line of scrimmage in terms of what we're, you know, games are running, things like that. And he's done a real good job with it.
So you talked this week about the explosiveness of the Bills offense, and obviously 481 total yards. Is this basically what you figured you might be in?
Well, you know, they didn't really hit us with a lot of big plays. They hit us with, they moved the ball around. They got a lot of guys involved. Chandler, Johnson, of course, the backs. They did a good job. And in the end, you know, I think the turnovers were, you know, helped us. But they've got an explosive group of skilled players, and they got them all involved.
Is there anything you can attribute to their success on the ground? They ran more yards today than any team had.
Well, they had a lot of balance. I mean, yeah. And, you know, we missed some tackles, and, you know, we didn't play some of the runs real well, but those backs are good backs, and they make yards against everybody. So, you know, we got to do a better job, but, I mean, give them credit. They gain a lot of yards against everybody. They do a good job. They're not easy to get on the ground, even if you play the play, you know, halfway decently. They make a lot of yards on their own.
Bill, you took the bye week to fix a few things on the team, but it still seems like you guys are struggling to close out games. You're thinking behind that in today's performance.
I'll take any win. Take any win.
Bill, I know you're going to have to watch the tape, but, you know, after the bye week and a couple extra practices, do you look disappointed with the lack of sharpness on defense? Like, so there are some missed tackles and like some missed assignments and stuff that you guys don't know.
You know, I thought overall as a team, we just didn't do a real good job of that. We had penalties, drop balls, offside, missed tackles. You know, missed tackles and drop balls. I mean, that's pretty fundamental. We had just didn't do a good job in a number of areas. I don't think it was any one thing, but just, you know, overall we made some plays. We did some things well, but there was other things that were just not as sharp as what they need to be or what they should be. So. Yeah, we got to definitely do a better job on those. You know, it wasn't far from perfect.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, is it surprise you to miss tackles at this point, fundamental mistakes?
Well, I just got through saying that. I think they have a real good group of skilled players. They're hard to tackle, and, you know, part of that's credit to them, but we got to do a better job. I don't know how else to answer the question. It's the same thing I just said.
Does Devin,
when he's at safety, is in the middle of the field as opposed
to the corner, does that give him
an opportunity to potentially impact more plays?
I don't think Steven's ever not had confidence. I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah,
no, he kicked the ball well. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think it's a confidence issue. I'm not at all. I mean, Steve's real consistent. He's real consistent from the day he got here. He's kicked well. He works hard. He's been very consistent. Like everybody, not perfect, but good, and works hard to continually get better. And I would say that's the way it's been when the stats say he's doing real good, and that's, you know, the way it's been when, you know, he's missed a couple kicks or hasn't kicked off well or whatever the case might be. But he's very steady. He works hard. He puts a lot into it. And overall, he's very consistent on a daily basis. I mean, there's not too many times where you walk off the field. And in fact, I'd be hard-pressed to think of more than a handful of times where you'd say, well, he didn't have a good day today. You know, there's just not many of those days. He kicks the ball well pretty much every time he gets a chance to kick it.
His kickoffs today certainly gave your defense a great
deal. And you're right, we had good coverage on the couple that they brought out, and that was good. I mean, this is, you know, best kickoff return team in the league. Great returner, punt and kickoff returner, and that was, you know, one of the things we needed to do was, you know, neutralize McKelvin's production in those two areas, and we did a decent job of that.
Bill, we could see both Tom and Vince on television getting after the guys a lot in the game. Do you sense any frustration on their part with some of the consistency that they're not used to having that?
You'd have to ask them.
What do you say about the defense? It seems like a pattern now that even though they make some mistakes throughout, they always come up with turnovers at the exact key times. Is that kind of in the hallmark of the defense? It seems like every time it's some kind of the ability to come back and
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's the way it happened today. But I'm sure next week, you know, who knows what the script will be next week. So just got to go out there and try to play well for 60 minutes. That's what we'll try to do every week. You know, one of my plays at the beginning of the game, the end of the game, all through the game. So hopefully we'll be able to do a better job, you know, next week.
We haven't seen you since the news broke on Friday, but are you disappointed in playing this suspension?
Well, it's a league matter. I really don't want any comment on it.
You talked about Woodhead and other players, but what makes Woodhead so special, especially what he did in Bay
game? I think Danny is a versatile player. He does a lot of things well. He's good in the passing game. He's got a good feel for a man in zone coverages and getting open. He does a good job on blitz pickup. He runs well, reads his blocks well. He's got good quickness. He's got some speed. He really runs pretty strong for a smaller player, so he's got a good skill set. He's smart. He works hard. He's always trying to improve. And he does what we ask him to do. So, got a lot of things going for him.
You lost both starting guys. You think you guys did a good job adjusting to
dealing with that? Yeah, they sure did. You know, and we were kind of fortunate there. Most of the time, we only carry 7 offensive linemen in the game, and we happen to have 8 today. And so both Donald and Nick ended up filling in there, and like I said, well, you obviously have to watch the film and see how it all turns out, but you know, there weren't a lot of problems. I know that, and right, that was obviously unexpected, but you know, luckily, you know, they came through for us, and that's why everybody has to be ready. You just never know when the bell's going to ring, and both Nick and Donald answered it.
Bill, back to Bolden for a second. I know it's going to matter, but I mean, one of your guys violates a rule and gets suspended for 4 games in the middle of the season.
Yeah, well, I can't talk about it, so, you know, can't get into those matters, so.
Any questions?
Okay, thank you.
All right, those last couple of questions, in case you couldn't make them out, or 2 out of the last 3 or 4, whatever it was, we're on Brandon Bolden. And look, I normally try to defend my fellow media, right? Give them the benefit of the doubt. It's really not the time to be asking about Brandon Bolden. Yeah, you can wait till Monday to ask, right? Post-game podium, one, he's not going to answer. He's not going to answer it whatever day of the week it is. But he certainly ain't answering it there. Not after a game. Not going to answer it. Also, on the O-line, he's right. Those guys came in, and Ryan Wendell told us this earlier. Those guys came in and did their jobs. You barely noticed that Connolly and Mankins are both out of the game. And it was McDonald at left guard and Donald Thomas at right guard. You know, you barely even noticed that. So Belichick is right about that. He's also right about a win is a win is a win, right? That rhetoric in the NFL. Yes, they got the win. Yes, they moved to 6-3. Yes, they're 3-0 in the division. How do you feel about it? That's something that's on the table. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We mentioned Mankins there. According to Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald, Mankins left the game in the third quarter with an ankle injury and has now left the stadium with a walking boot on his left foot. Howe continues, Mankins walked under his own power and wasn't using crutches, but the boot wasn't a good sign after he was rolled up on twice in one series. Mankins has already missed 3 games this season with hip and calf injuries. So again, Jeff Howe, Boston Herald, says he's walking around in a walking boot. Not a great sign, but I believe this about the Patriots' offensive line. They can overcome injuries, even to guys like Logan Mankins. Those interior line injuries particularly, I think the Patriots can get away with. If you're telling me you're losing Nate Solder, Sebastian Vollmer, both of whom played well today, if you're telling me you're losing those guys, all right, that's one thing. But those interior three, you've already been mixing and matching a little bit anyway. Mankins has missed games. You don't have Brian Waters back from last year. Wendell's actually been one of the staples in the middle. But you've already sort of been mixing and matching things anyway on the interior line. And one other note, and this I had seen it tweeted about a little bit. I thought people were just reading Fitzpatrick's lips on TV. I talked about the personal foul on Brandon Spikes, which I just thought was dumb, where he went in and I thought he was going to force an intentional grounding, and instead he gets a 15-yard penalty for hitting Fitzpatrick in the helmet. Stupid. I thought people were reading his lips, he being Ryan Fitzpatrick, but no, this is from the podium after the game, and I'm reading from Jim Donaldson, Providence Journal. Trash talk by a Harvard guy, he writes. Could it get much worse for Patriots linebacker Brandon Spikes, who was penalized for roughing the passer in the fourth quarter after hitting Buffalo quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick and knocking off his helmet on an incomplete pass? Quote, "I think he's a punk," Fitzpatrick said of Spikes in his post-game interview. A punk at the podium is what he called him. "He does a lot of jabbering out there, a lot of talking," said Fitzpatrick. "He takes some cheap shots. He's not one of my favorite players." I'll tell you, I really don't think that's a bad thing for the Patriots. We talk about edge and attitude and swagger and all these things. You know, being unliked is part of it. So I don't really have a problem with Fitzpatrick thinking that Spikes is a punk. In all honesty, I kind of like that. Now, I thought it was a stupid penalty, but the jabbering and the hard hits from Spikes, guess what? If other people think he's a punk because of hard hits and trash talking, well, great. I say bring more of that. I think the Patriots could use more guys like that on defense. So if he's a punk, I'll take more punks out there for the Patriots. And you can weigh in on that as well. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. 7 games left. Patriots already won the first in the second half. They've run the table the last 2 years. What's the likelihood they can keep that momentum going forward and possibly run the table again? We'll delve into that. Plus, we'll hear from Patriots head coach, quarterback, Tom Brady. That's all coming up next here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card, cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Ho'o Manawanui lines up as the fullback, Ridley the tailback in the eye. Shanko in motion from right to left, ready to throw, flips it to the end zone, back, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski. Great lob by Brady on the little soft pass to the right. It goes for a yard, 2 yards, and the touchdown.
Gil Santos with the call on the Patriots Radio Network. That was Tom Brady's touchdown pass to Rob Gronkowski. Remember, he's fallen into the end zone from 2 yards out after Stephen Ridley had already been stuffed at the goal line. That was actually the Patriots' fourth drive of the first half. They had scored on 8 consecutive first-half drives. They actually ended the half on their next drive where they went super conservative right before halftime, which surprised me. I know it surprised Ian Eagle and Dan Feltz as well on the broadcast that Belichick would go so conservative there. But the Patriots actually scored on 8 consecutive drives in the first half, going back to that St. Louis game, with 7 touchdowns. And 3 of them came today, along with the Steven Gostkowski field goals. The Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills 37-31 today in Foxborough. They improved to 6-3 and also moved to 3-0 in the AFC East. Adam Jones with you here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. A couple of things to pass along. And Kevin, get set on the mic over there, because I just saw this tweet from Mike Giardi, CSNNE, tweets out Welker's ankle injury is a concern. And you just told me in the break that Welker actually left after that catch on the Patriots' final drive.
Yeah, do you have your little play sheet there?
Yeah, it was a 23-yard play.
There
was the play where they were to one side of the field,
yes,
and they just completely reversed that screen.
So that was a 23-yard gain. He made it happen all by himself. On the tackle, he got dragged down kind of awkwardly. And I happened to notice, right as the tackle was happening, Brandon Lloyd, who was behind the play, was already calling for Julian Edelman to get in there.
Huh.
He was calling for Edelman to get in because he knew Welker fell awkwardly. He knew he, you know, probably wasn't 100% coming off. And Welker jogged very, very gingerly off the field and was checked out by the medical staff and was kept out for 2 plays because that play got them a first down. And then he came back in on, like, 3rd and 5, I want to say, when they didn't ultimately end up.
So he left and returned is what you're telling me. So that
he did,
that...
but he came off very awkwardly and gingerly and had to be checked out. And the fact that, you know, you have another player here in Brandon Lloyd immediately calling for Edelman to come in the game before he's almost even tackled lets you know that it was an awkward fall.
Yeah, that escaped me. I didn't notice that as the game was going on. And you remember, Welker left that game early against St. Louis last week in London, or 2 weeks ago in London, rather. So maybe this is a recurring injury. I just thought that was an interesting tweet from Giardi. And then Kevin, with the added info there, that was something that I hadn't noticed. And honestly, it seemed like he was moving fine out on the field. He did have a couple of drops today. But he also, the play we just talked about, like, he looked completely, totally healthy on that play where he reversed field 23 yards to set up the Patriots field goal, which made it a a 6-point game instead of just a 3-point game. So I thought he looked relatively healthy out there. That was off my radar, and that's something to keep you up to speed on as well, with Logan Mankins already leaving in a walking boot. Dan Connolly left the game as well with a back injury. And we need to keep an eye on the status of Wes Welker as well. Before we get to the emails, and before we get to Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who you'll hear from here momentarily, let's go back to the phones. Richard is in Maine. Richard, what'd you think of the Patriots today?
I thought they were great, man. Well, obviously, I'm pleased we won. And really, I just got a comment and a question for you, being in the media. I don't normally listen to Belichick's interviews. Normally, I find it easier on Monday to read the transcript on Patriots.com. But
sure.
It is so painful to listen to a Bill Belichick, you know, press conference. I mean, you could take, literally, you could just take a recording of him and dub it on virtually every, you know, interview, post-game interview he does. So my question is, for you in the media, is it as painful to interview him as it is for us to listen to a Bill Belichick interview? And I love the guy. I mean,
of course. You know.
But tell me, from your perspective, is it as painful to interview him as it is to just listen?
Well,
you know?
When you say interview him, I mean, I do not have the stature or the status to get one-on-one interviews with Bill Belichick. So all I've ever done is, you know, be in the press conference room, the media room, while Belichick is handling a mass Q&A from reporters, right? I find those mildly entertaining, to tell you the truth, and I'll single out what I find entertaining about it. And if you're looking for actual info, you're not going to get it. I think we're past that point from Belichick. Like, maybe you'll get a historic football nugget, or maybe you'll get some X's and O's stuff. But if you want answers on an injured player, or if you want an evaluation on how someone played, he's not going to give it to you. And the Bolden thing to me, those are nonsensical questions. He's not going to answer that question on a Monday or on a Friday, never mind at the podium after a game, answer a question about Brandon Bolden's suspension. So I guess congratulations, pat yourself on the back for being a dogged reporter asking the question, but it's a question you know you're not going to get an answer to. So there's that part of it. Who was the reporter? I couldn't make it out, but I love when Belichick just does those awkward, like, just completely slap somebody down, right? Like, he basically answered a question. The reporter followed up, probably already had their question formulated, and it wound up being exactly what Belichick just said, and he just slapped him down. He said, well, I just said that. I don't know how else to answer it besides that. So that kind of stuff, if you're looking for something, that's entertaining. But if you're looking for actual news value, I don't know that he's going to give it up. That's Belichick's philosophy. He doesn't want to give that away at the podium. And I think with him being here for what, 13 years now, 12 years, whatever it is, I think we should know that by now. So people expecting big, newsy, juicy nuggets from Belichick, you're just not going to get them. I'm used to that. As a member of the media, I'm used to it. I think most people are, and the ones who aren't, I don't know what you've been paying attention to. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mark writes in from Florida. Adam, whatever happened to coach him up? There was a time when the Patriots could take just about any player and turn him into a useful player. You know, stick Troy Brown on defense, Earthwin Moreland, off the street Hank Poteet, all those guys, right? He continues, Matt Patricia has had a season and a half to work on this defense, and it appears they're still treading water. Why can't they get better? It's not just the players. The coaches aren't making it happen either. Look, I've heard this. I mean, I've heard it. The positional coaches aren't doing it, or Belichick isn't doing it. I do believe it's the personnel here. And the one thing you're forgetting about all of those players who got plugged in, they were plugged in alongside great players. You know, they're plugged in alongside Mike Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi and Richard Seymour and, you know, Vince Wilfork in the middle of the defense and Ted Washington and Willie McGinnis. So you're plugging them in, Ty Law. You know, you're plugging them in next to excellent players, you know, to very good players. And for this Patriots history, you know, some of the best that have been here. So if you're just plugging in one corner into a relatively strong secondary, well, that's one thing. You know, but when you have a whole defense of them, that's the issue. And I do think that's what it is. Now, I don't know. I don't know a lot about Josh Boyer and Matt Patricia and their ability to coach anyone up. I don't think a lot of people in the media do. You know, I think that's purposefully protected, by the Patriots. But by my estimation, it's more the personnel. That's been the issue. Now, that still ultimately goes back to Belichick and goes back to the coaches. Are they identifying the right type of players for their scheme in the NFL? That's where I think the disconnect is. You know, can you coach them up? I guess, marginally. But I think getting guys like Aqib Talib give you a better chance than instead of playing the Kyle Arrington and Sterling Moores of the world, Marquise Coles of the world. I know Kevin Collins, that's his guy, but...
Most people said he was going to make the team.
Yeah.
I said he was a special team
hero. You know what? In fairness, Marquise Cole had a nice breakup at the end of the game. Yeah. While we're on him, just to single him out, on that final drive, Donald Jones was going down the field, and Marquise got in there, batted it away. That's your guy, Collins.
Honestly, what can I say? I'm a talent evaluator, Jones. That's what I'm in there. You know, most people having a few beers during these preseason games.
You're sitting there, you're checking it off. Actually,
most people leave after like two series, and I'm there just grinding away.
Apparently, my tweets bother people in game, by the way, because I got a couple of these to my Twitter. You know, well, Adam, most people are there evaluating the game while you're sitting there making fun of the announcers and stuff like. It's like, I don't, what am I gonna do? Well, should I tweet out 5-yard gain for Stephen Ridley? Is that what I should do?
Nobody needs a play-by-play on Twitter. That's really annoying.
Is that what you want? You want some Twitter play-by-play?
You're that guy.
I try to, I'm not saying it's funny all the time, but I try to get a little.
No, but you're that guy in like the funny shirt that provides the comedic relief for the rest of the world. You're that guy in the press box that makes everyone laugh.
Are you making fun of this shirt?
No.
This flannel.
I'm just saying, you're just this, like...
It's very Vermont.
People only see, like, your Twitter avatar.
Yes.
Or when you were, your mug on the front of that, that just awful ESPN Boston show you used to do. Terrible.
The show was bad. The picture was worse.
Just awful.
Yeah.
But they need to get the full thing. I mean, you walk in, you're all debonair, and you're like, you dress very Brady-like, There's that, like, what Tom Curran. Did you hear that little back and forth?
I did.
I heard the back and forth, yes. I feel like that's
maybe,
me.
Maybe Curran will corner me.
I feel like that's me talking to you. Jones, what are you thinking? What are you wearing?
Then, Jones?
Like, half the population, though, is like, wow, guy's a trendsetter.
It's a hot scarf.
Next thing you know,
it's a hot scarf and a hot flannel.
There's flannels. There's, like, I don't even know what kind of shoes you wear most of the time. There's Converse All Stars popping up left and right, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's some All Stars, some
Chuck Taylors, whatever.
Nice, got some nice Pumas on today.
No, but I mean, you're that guy though. You make everyone laugh.
Neither here nor there. But my point is, while we're analyzing things in game, I only wanted to get to this to get back to the in-game broadcast because you're talking about. I thought a pretty opinionated broadcast from Dan Fouts, and I don't know where his head was at half the time, but I do think he gave you something on this today, like, man, why don't the Patriots bring more pressure? And I also think he held himself accountable somewhat. The Patriots did bring pressure on the Jones touchdown, where Dennard got picked, which we discussed earlier, brought the Bills back within three at the time, Patriots got a field goal, and then the Bills turned it over on their final possession. I thought he did a good job holding himself accountable. Like, he had been calling for pressure, and guess what? When they brought the house at the goal line, the Bills scored from 3 yards out. So I don't feel that it's just scheme or coaching ability or anything like that. I think it's the guys they've been drafting or the players they've identified. That, to me, is the bigger issue, and that's been ongoing for a while. I think they're starting to get it right with some of these guys. Like, Dennard looks like he can play. Now, I know he said similar things about McCourty his rookie year, not that Dennard is quite there. But Dennard looks like he can play. I think Tavon Wilson, when you have him in sub packages, looks like he can play. Your two first-round picks look like they can play. So I think they've done better at this. But, if you're only adding one guy to a defense each year, or maybe two guys to the defense each year, it's going to take a while to build that defense up. That's what I think it is. I don't think it's the positional coach is not allowing these guys to improve or to quote-unquote coach them up.
Got a question for you.
Sure.
We just talked about bringing the house down on the goal line.
Sure.
I think it was it a third and goal from like the 2 or 3?
The Jones touchdown was third down, yes.
Okay. When you say bring the house, I remember Mayo came like, shot out of a cannon up the middle on a play that we see Spikes do a lot, mm-hmm. where he just comes right up the A and the B gap.
Yes, the A gap, yes.
Who got his legs on that play? I'm trying to think. Because he was coming in clean, and all of a sudden...
Who got Fitzpatrick's legs?
No, who got Mayo? Who blew Mayo up? Because he went,
I don't know, to be honest.
He went ass over tea kettle, because he was coming in clean, mm-hmm. and then at the last second got his legs cut out, and he did the... remember when Bruschi was playing? He'd go ass over tea mm-hmm. kettle and just try to, blow up, just try to blow the play up, But I saw him, and I was like, man, what a block. I just couldn't figure out who
that did not make the cut for my notes.
But that was like a spike.
That was a play where they brought it, and people who were asking for more pressure,
it was awful.
It didn't work there.
No, people that asked for
They're not asking for it at the goal line. I understand. You're asking, that's where Belichick's going to do it, though. And I think that's a relatively, even if you're going to do it, that's a relatively conservative place to do it. Like, how much can you really get hurt by a, it's
no,
like 3 yards, you
I
know?
I agree. And, but I mean, one of your, you know, your nitpicks on a Spikes today was the penalties and whatnot. But while we're talking about the pass rush and lack of pressure, it's like half the time it seemed like these guys were lining up offsides when they're trying to,
yeah.
You know, they had a really hard time.
Cunningham had one.
Ninko had one.
Ninkovich had one.
They had
right.
a really hard time with the Buffalo tackles. And, you know, I was talking to you off air about Chandler Jones, how he didn't really show up at all today. And the PFW guys call it brother-in-lawing for some reason. Mm-hmm. When you just kind of dance, like it's Derek Burgessing, as Andy would say, when our DNs just kind of, you know, dance with the tackles. And unfortunately, I felt as much of a step back as people may have thought today was for the secondary. I thought it was equally as bad for guys like Ninkovich and Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because Ninkovich got in there and was able to bring down Fitzpatrick at one point. And I know it wasn't just his pressure. Cunningham was in on that play. So was Jones. I just think this is sort of what the Patriots pass rush is. I mean, they still had 3 sacks today. I don't think that's totally out of line with what they've been doing. And I think they moved him off his spot a few times. Now, did he have a lot of time? Seemingly, yeah. But I can't think of a lot of games where they were really bearing down on quarterbacks this year. I haven't seen a ton of that. Continue with the emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Anders writes in. Adam, first off, good to be back to football after the long bye week. Wow, this game could have gone either way. I was hoping for a better opening of the season's second half, and I didn't like that run defense. I will not complain about the W, though. Loved Woodhead's performance today. Nice to see him in the mix. I'm personally happy McCourty got that interception. For his confidence, I know McCourty has had some roller coaster performances, but then again, who hasn't in that Patriots secondary? Again, stupid penalties and sloppiness almost cost us the game. Good list. Big Vince, Woods, Welker, and at times Dennard. Yeah, I said it. Bad, the run defense. And again, that's Anders writing into Web Radio. At Patriots.com, I would not have Dennard on the good list after this one. And big picture, I still want him out there. I still want him as one of your top two corners, whether it's with McCourty or whether it's with Tlaib. And I guess that's a way of me saying I want McCourty at safety. You know, I would rather have Dennard out there with Tlaib and McCourty at safety. That's what I would rather have. I guess we'll see how they line it up. But I just thought he was exposed today. So it's not a big picture takeaway on Dennard. I still like what we've seen on balance from him, but not today. He was involved in some major plays, some major conversions at the end of the game, a fourth down conversion, a third down conversion on the final drive. He was the guy who was supposed to be covering Donald Jones on the touchdown that brought the Bills back within three. I didn't think it was the greatest day for him. That's all. We'll continue with your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you, and Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. We mentioned the Patriots pick up a 37-31 win over the Buffalo Bills today in Foxborough. Let's head back to the podium and hear from their quarterback, Tom Brady.
How are you doing? Well, it was tight today, and I'm glad we came away with the win. We fought hard. You know, we certainly had more opportunities out there to score more points, but we didn't, and you know, the defense made great play there at the end, or a couple great plays.
When a player drops a ball like Wes Welker did early in the game, which would have been a touchdown pass, what do you say to Wes on the sidelines? How do you keep his spirits up? Or do you even need to go over to Wes?
No, I don't. I don't need to. Wes is, you know, I'm always going to go to him. He's, you know, he's one of the best, you know, to ever play. So he has a lot of mental toughness to fight through it, and he'll be fine. Anybody else? This could be nice and short for me.
Does it get frustrating at the end when you guys can't lately with that closing the game out when you have a chance to?
Well, we're always trying to make good plays, whether it's a first quarter or fourth quarter. So, you know, we got to play for 60 minutes. That's the goal every week.
Tom, was it disappointing at all coming off the bye week? You know, there was still some sloppy play out there. You tried to correct it during the bye.
It's frustrating when we don't, you know, play as well as we're capable of. But that's part of the game, and part of the mental toughness of the game is to put those things behind you and to keep playing hard. And we did that, so that's why we won. Last question.
Tom, what happened on the, when you're on the sideline and you're a spectator and they're driving at the end and you can't do a thing about it?
Well, we had plenty of opportunities to do something about it. It's, you know, whether you're sitting on the sideline, I had an opportunity to do something about it 50 seconds before that. And so the defense really saved the day. So thank you.
All right, that was Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Abbreviated post-game press conference following his club's 37-31 win over the Buffalo Bills today in Foxborough. Collins pointed this out while Brady was talking. The first question was Zoe. The second question was McLovin. That was Fogel.
It's you, McMuffin.
That was Fogel asking a question, I think. That's who it sounded like. Not a lot there for Tom Brady. Seemed like he was in a hurry. I don't know if people had hustled out. I don't know what the situation was down there, but that is a very quick post-game press conference from the quarterback, Tom Brady. And speaking of Brady, Clayton writes into Web Radio, Patriots.com. Guys, a win is a win. And like Brady always says, it's hard to win in this league, so I'll take it. But there are some serious concerns. When you score 37 points with zero turnovers and only two punts and still almost lose the game, there's a problem. And I got to tell you, Clayton, that's an excellent way of putting it. Think about that. 37 points, zero turnovers, you only punted twice. Patriots did go three and out today for only the eighth time all year. That is a problem. I mean, that's a great way of putting it. He continues. This isn't like last year's game where Brady threw four picks and the Bills had short fields. Serious concerns with the defense. I also don't get the play calling, and I've been feeling this for a little while, and I've been waiting for one of these emails. So, bravo, Clayton. I thought they actually put together a nice game-clinching drive, only to have it stalled due to strange plays, such as the play-action fake reverse play that almost blew up, which is the one where Welker got hurt on that we were citing earlier, followed by the bubble screen that only worked because Welker made a sensational play. So, scratch that. That's the Welker play he was talking about. I also don't get the quick snap at the goal line on first down when you're trying to run out the clock, followed by back-to-back pass plays. They could have run down the clock a lot more. McDaniels realizes that Brady's the quarterback, not Tebow, and they shouldn't need gimmicks to try and move the ball. Anyway, a win is a win on Indy. That's an excellent email right there. And I referenced, I forgot about the quick snap, to tell you the truth, with Ridley down at the goal line. I don't have a huge problem with that. I understand what you're saying about the clock, Clayton, but they've been so effective in it, the score to me is bigger there than the clock. Now, that almost came back to bite him, but you can quick snap it once and try to get in the end zone and then run it again on the next couple of plays. And I mentioned, I think the offensive line had a very good day today, but those two drives, plays rather, after the quick snap, they didn't protect Brady there. And to me, this has been an ongoing thing with the Patriots. The offensive line will be great for 3.5 quarters or for 55 minutes even, but when they need to protect Brady at the end of games, they're not doing it. And that almost came back to bite him yesterday. Not that Brady got sacked or rushed into an intentional grounding or anything like that, but they couldn't protect him and they had to settle for a field goal. So instead of making it a two-score game, it's only a six-point game, and a touchdown beats you. And, yeah, I thought the play calling to me wasn't as much the issue there. It's just not being able to protect Brady. But I thought people were going to bring up the play calling, and here's where I thought they were going to bring it up. Two things. Patriots being uber, uber conservative. I feel like we've said that more and more about Belichick this year, and I wonder if that's input from McDaniels. You know, and I have no idea. I'm just wondering out loud. Like, I feel like Belichick hasn't been this conservative in the past. Settling for it on fourth and one for a field goal. Taking a knee at the end of the half. Is that what the Patriots do? Like, don't the Patriots want the ball right before halftime and get that double score? Like, isn't that what they're all about? And they had an opportunity to do that, and you take a knee going into halftime? I thought that was weird. So I thought we may see a second guess there. I wrote it in my notes. Like, what are you taking a knee for? And, you know, not that it's a huge nitpick. We've waited almost an hour and a half to bring it up, so it's certainly not at the forefront of my mind. But that was something I thought people might bring up. And there's also this. The only three and out of the day was after McCourty stripped Freddie Jackson going into the end zone. So the Patriots start at their own one. And the play calling there was super conservative. And I know you're at your one, so it does make sense that you're conservative there. And a Welker drop killed you on that drive. And you eventually had to punt. And the Bills eventually got back into the end zone. That was the next drive, the Donald Jones touchdown, and got back within three. So instead of putting the game away there, you wound up letting Buffalo right back into it. And some of it is field position related, and you'll take it in that scenario, getting the turnover. But that was one where I thought the play calling was a little conservative. Not the call specifically, but just the way you went about it. That could have been the game. And you sort of sat on it, and the drop certainly hurt. So that, to me, is where I thought people were going to go, and I've kind of been waiting for one of those play-calling emails to pop up, and that's the first one we've seen. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Adam Jones here with you on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills 37-31. They move to 3-0 in the AFC East. We'll go around the division next here on patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Fitzpatrick in the shotgun, 28 seconds remaining, empty backfield. Three receivers near side right, Pats lead by six. Snap to Fitzpatrick, looking over the middle, fires to the right. Intercepted in the end zone. Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Gil Santos on the Patriots Radio Network. That was the game-sealing interception. by Patriots safety. Yes, safety today. Devin McCourty, he remained back there. We wonder what his role will be going forward now that Aqib Talib will be in the mix starting next week, we think, against the Indianapolis Colts. Adam Jones of the year on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Just heard the call there, McCourty's interception. We'll hear from McCourty at the podium coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Wanted to get you up to speed on a few other bits of news. The first one, Brandon Spikes has responded, I think, to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Spikes tweeted the following. Wiz Khalifa laugh. So, whatever that means, Kevin Collins.
Well, he has different laughs. Like, sometimes he'll be like Grinch laugh. You know, it depends.
God, I don't follow him. I really don't.
I follow him all the time.
I don't follow athletes.
He's very entertaining.
I follow Ross Ventrone. That's it. It's the only athlete.
If you want
some
entertainment, I suggest Spikes.
But I like it. It's like, I don't know if that's just about the win. I don't know if that's just about life in general or if that's a direct response to Fitzpatrick. I guess I'm sort of reading between the lines here, but I would assume that's a response to Fitzpatrick. And you know what? I agree with him. Like, Fitzpatrick, you're calling someone a punk for jawing and hitting hard, basically. And yeah, playing on the towing the line of being dirty. I don't mind that as long as it's not cheap, you know? And as long as it's within the context of the game. Like, I think it was a dumb penalty by Spikes. But it's not like after the play he shoved him or something like that. It was in the context of the game, in the heat of battle. Yes, he got too much of the helmet, which he should know not to do, but that to me is much more forgivable than getting in a dust-up after a play or something like that and getting a flag thrown on you. Or who was the player earlier this year who threw a ball at another player and got like a 15-yard penalty for the Washington Redskins? His name escapes me. I think it was Josh Morgan, actually. Like, that's dumb, and that's inexcusable. And being cheap, that's different as well. If you're going after guys' knees or something like that, that was in the context of battle, that hit. So, yeah, it wasn't smart, and it cost the Patriots. And we pointed it out, I think, accurately after the game. You know, we put it in its proper context. But for me, if people are sitting there calling him a punk and saying, well, he jabbers too much and, you know, he's toeing the line and being too physical, good. That's what I want out of players on this defense. So I agree. I think the Patriots in general should be laughing at Fitzpatrick. Same thing with Patriots fans. I'm with you, Brandon. Wiz Khalifa laugh indeed. I'm with you. So if that's who he's responding to, that would be my assumption. I'm on board with Brandon Spikes and that response. So anyway, he's responded. Wanted to get to a few more emails here before we get to the podium. And Patriots safety Devin McCourty. Nicholas writes in, Adam, I'm sure by the time you read this, you'll have covered all the bad points, and there were so many. But Woodhead made me eat my words from the early part of the year. He's Mr. Clutch for this team. He needs more praise from the fan base. Without his play, we lose. You know, I'm just trying to think back. I probably went along with this in the preseason where I thought there was a chance Woodhead could get cut. So, you know, I don't want to say that I haven't called him out in the past, but I do tend to agree that he's come up big for the team today. You know, he came up big when they needed him. I had him on my good list. He's had some major, major third down conversions for the team this year. So, to me, I think he's been a nice surprise in that you're still getting something out of him, even with the emergence of Ridley and the slight emergence of Arine this year. Step forward, I guess, and Bolden's been there. And when Jeff Demps was in camp, I thought there was a chance he could get cut. So, you're right. I am impressed with what we've seen out of Woodhead. Josh writes in from Farmingdale, Maine. Adam, I agree with you. The defense isn't as talented as last year. This year, rather, as it has been in the past. The undisciplined way they played today. Mayo and Spikes with major penalties at bad times absolutely rests on the coaches. Keep on the announcers. Fouts and Eagle are horrible. I'm watching the game. I don't need you to tell me what's going on. Well, I agree with that last part. I actually don't think Fouts and Eagle are bad. I think Ian Eagle's pretty good. Fouts, I thought, gave some decent opinions. It was just mixed in there with some nonsensical thoughts. He was talking about beards. He was talking about drinking at one point, which amused me. But, you know, I can understand being frustrated watching the game. But on the defense and on those bad penalties, I don't think those are on the coaching staff. Like, I don't know how the coaches are supposed to regulate Brandon Spikes getting too much of a quarterback's helmet. Or same thing with Jerod Mayo. You know, I don't know how they're supposed to regulate it. I mean, you can send the message all you want, but the players ultimately have to follow suit on the field. Wyatt writes in to WebRadio, Patriots.com. Adam, what position did McCourty play today? And what did he play on the interception? Thanks, I missed most of the game. Well, McCourty was a safety throughout in this one. And I hope that's what we see more of from Devin McCourty. Big force fumble today at the goal line. Big pick for Patriots safety Devin McCourty. And after the 37-31 win, McCourty was at the podium.
Yeah, that was one of those right place, right time moments right there. Ball thrown right to me. So just making the catch and ending it was my focus at that time.
The last drive, was it anything specific going on there? They made it pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, those last drives are always tough. You know, the offense is throwing out, you know, whatever they haven't called as their best stuff. They're going to whatever works at that point in the game. So when we get on the field defensively, it's all about just getting a stop we need, either the turnover or trying to make them go four and out. So at that point, we're just moving on each play, trying to get the stop. That play's going. We're trying to focus on the next play. Those two-minute drives are always tough. It went right down to the last second. So that was big just to be able to go through that and get the win at the end.
Devin, you also forced the fumble, didn't you, at the one?
Yeah.
Turnovers, obviously, something you guys have been preaching all year, isn't it?
Yeah, we know no matter what happens in the game, there's nothing bigger than turnovers. You know, I think throughout any level of football, turnovers always play a big part. A lot of times, if you can just win that turnover ratio, you end up winning the game. So we know each game we got to go out and win the turnover ratio. No matter what happens in the game, we got to come out on top with the turnover ratio.
Is that what the defense thinks about? Just don't worry how many yards we're giving up? Just
play? Nah, definitely. We worry about that, you know, but we also know, you know, you can't fix them like on that run. You know, we don't want a guy running through the defense and getting down the 2-yard line. But at that point, you know, we had two guys on them. The next thing is trying to get the ball out. So I think, you know, our guys on defensively just fight each play and trying to do whatever we can, whatever happens within the game, and making big plays.
Did you get any sense out of that last pass that it could be coming in your area? Did you read anything, or was it just a matter of having
Really, at that time in the game, you know it could come really anywhere, and you just try to focus on, you know, where the guys are that they like to throw to, you know, with Chandler being a big target in the middle of the field, and Stevie Johnson, you know, Chandler lined up right in the middle, so I knew it was a good chance that it can be some type of play in the middle of the field, and, you know, right there he just threw it, and I happened to be right there.
What is it about the defense that forces the turnovers at the right time? This is, I don't know, week three or four where teams had a chance to win it. You guys get either a fumble or an interception right at the end.
That's a good question. I think it's just the guys' awareness. You know, our guys are fully aware wherever the ball is, whether it's in coverage and the ball's in the air, or, you know, if a guy's holding the ball, we're trying to get it out. You know, we almost got one at the end, too, with Spike's big hit on Jackson. So guys are just having an awareness of the ball and trying to get to it.
Hey, Devin, Danny Woody had two touchdowns today. When you're practicing, what makes him so effective? Can you see him coming out of
the backfield? Oh, he's tough. He does so many things well, and the biggest thing is, like you said, it's hard to see him. I'm a guy, I make fun of him all the time for his height, but he uses it to his advantage a lot. And, you know, whenever we're on that bench and we see Woody with the ball in his hands, we know he has a chance to make a big play. Whenever he comes out that backfield, he usually has a matchup that he can win. And for us, a good thing is he wins a lot of them. He's a very consistent player for us, and I think he does a great job.
Frustrated that it was close, or happy just that you got
out? The first thing I learned when I got to NFL is hard to win each week, so we never take that for granted. It's big to come out and get a win, especially against a division team, and like any other game, we got to go work on the things we need to work on. So we'll break the film down. We still got you know, seven more games to go, and, you know, it's all going to depend on how good and, you know, how well we improve over this time. If we can keep improving all the way down to the end of the season and string good games together and string wins together, we'll be in good shape.
Are you seeing any improvement from, say, even a month ago?
I think there's some improvement out there, and that's a good thing. But then there's also some plays that, you know, we know are happening, and we know that we're hurting ourselves more than anything. So I think that's a little frustrating. But I think it's something you just got to keep attacking. I think football is that way. I think a lot of teams go through that. Everyone has different problems on their teams offensively, defensively, and you just got to keep working and keep improving those things each week.
Vince was just saying that he was a little animated on the sideline toward the end, trying to get you guys going, saying somebody's going to make a play, and that he could see in several guys' eyes that you were buying into that. Were you one of those?
Yeah, definitely. I think Vince, you know, he's a guy that echoes that a lot. You know, he always says that we could get one big play out of everybody in the game, we'll be in great shape. And towards the end of the game, you know, he looked at all of us in the huddle, he brought it up, and he said, you know, he said, Devin, you just made a play. Who's going to make the next play? And we know when the game gets towards the end, those big plays, they change the game. They end up winning games at the end. So, you know, as well as we want to play with yards and everything, we know at the end of the game, if you can make a big play, get a big turnover, get a big stop, that changes the game.
Wouldn't it be better to be in a position where you don't have to make the big play at the end of the game?
Oh, definitely. I think every team wants to be in that position. But, you know, wherever way the game goes, you know, you got to pull out the close ones. And I think that shows its true characteristics of a team when you're in a close battle and you got to fight down in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go and you got to win. Someone has to make a big play. Someone has to play and play great.
What does it say about your defense? You had them first and 20 on the 10. First and 10 on the 6, and they get out of the hole both times. What does that say about you guys?
Those two situations, bad defense. You know, that's what we want defensively. We want the team backed up in that situation. We'll watch the tape and dissect what happened on those certain plays. But, you know, when you just look at that, it's bad defense. We just got to play better and take advantage of those situations. And, you know, we work on those. And I think there was times where we did take advantage. And, you know, we got turnovers. They had to punt a couple times. And if we could just play more consistent and get those things to happen, we'll be in good shape.
Any other questions?
I want to say thank you to all the veterans out there that, you know, represent our country. Today was big for us.
All right, that's Patriots safety Devin McCourty. A couple of big turnovers in that one. And obviously a nice message to the veterans out there on Veterans Day. We heard Belichick do something similar as well. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Something you're going to hear about all week, and we've discussed it a little bit on the pregame show. I've touched on it on this program as well, and I'll just reiterate, where does Devin McCourty line up? And I'll say this, that I don't think the turnovers today necessarily had anything to do with where he was playing. In other words, like, just because he forced turnovers today doesn't mean he's an answer back there at safety or a better fit at safety per se because of those turnovers. One was a hustle play coming from behind and knocking the ball out. He could have done that as a corner. And the throw today was right at him. So you're a defensive lineman, a linebacker, a safety, a corner, whatever. You know, that thing was right at you. That was just an awful throw. Now, he made the play, and he was facing the ball and facing the line of scrimmage, which you do as a safety and you're not doing as a corner. But I just like him better back there. And when I say him, I like him out there more than I like Steve Gregory back there. I thought Gregory gave you another ho-hum sort of day. And you look at it, and you looked up a couple of times, and you're wondering who that safety was. And it was Gregory on a couple of different plays. There was a 14-yarder to Chandler right before halftime, which eventually led to a Chandler touchdown that was caught when he got away from Dante Hightower. You know, I just thought Gregory, when you looked up a couple of different times, was the guy in pursuit there. And both he and Chung all season have seemed a step slow in terms of their coverage. But I would rather have Chung as the starter. I said this when they signed Gregory. I think he's ideal in sub packages. And from what we've seen out of Tavon Wilson, I think he is too. That could be a couple of nice guys to have in your nickel and dime defense. Bring down there and play the money position that everybody likes to tweet about, right? That'd be a couple of nice options there. I think your best four are McCourty, Chung, Dennard, and Tlaib once he's here. And I don't necessarily know the order. That's the way you get those four guys out there, in my view. That's the way you get those four guys out there. I didn't think Dennard had a great day today. I've said it a bunch of different times. But I still think he deserves to be out there over any other corner you've had thus far this year. That includes McCourty. And it certainly includes Arrington and Sterling Moore and Marquise Cole and whoever else you've tried back there. I think he's been your most competitive corner. So I think he deserves to be out there at one spot. I'd stick Tlaib out there at the other spot. And let's see. You know, let's see if Aqib Tlaib, not that I think he's the magic elixir or the cure-all back there, but I do think he'll help. And I think McCourty's been better at safety. I think we saw some of that today. So that's That's how I feel about it, and that's something I'm sure we'll delve into quite a bit on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social next week when the Patriots will be taking on Indianapolis 4:25 Eastern kickoff here in Foxborough. Right now, as we like to do during each and every postgame show, let's take a look at the rest of the division as we go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
I'll tell you what, one thing we like to do on the pregame show is pick some of the games around the NFL, and usually I try to mix in some of those other AFC East games, so we're keeping an eye on them as long as they're not completely atrocious games, and this one bordered on that. I thought the Dolphins would cover the 6.5-point spread or whatever it is. I thought they would crush the Titans, whose defense has been anemic. They've been bad. It was the complete wrong feeling on that game for me. Titans moved to 4-6. Dolphins dropped to 4-5. Final score, 37-3. And it was 24-3 at halftime. I mean, the thing was done after the first 30 minutes of the game. Jake Locker came back, didn't play well, 9-21, only 122 yards, but did throw for a couple of touchdowns. Tannehill was picked off three different times in this game. One of them was returned for a touchdown 49 yards out by Colin McCarthy, which made it 21-0 at the time. The Dolphins also had another turnover, so four in total in that game. Next up for the Dolphins, a short week. They take on this Buffalo Bills team on Thursday Night Football on the NFL Network. So you can get a look at the Patriots' opponent coming up here in just a few weeks. It's right now their closest competition in the division. And it's their opponent 2 weeks after the Colts game. So 3 weeks away, you'll be taking on the Dolphins. If you want to get a look in at them, you can do it Thursday night against the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots' next opponent after the Indianapolis Colts, 2 weeks away, is in action right now. The New York Jets are taking on the Seattle Seahawks. We mentioned Mark Sanchez already threw a brutal pick going into the Seattle end zone, threw an interception. He was picked off at the goal line by Richard Sherman, Tom Brady's guy. Seahawks lead it right now, 14-7, 7:07 remaining in the third quarter in that one as the Jets look to move to 4-5. That would put them in a tie with the Miami Dolphins. Of course, they have the tiebreaker since they hung on to beat Miami earlier in overtime this season. And the other game going on in the division, you saw it. Bills fall to the Patriots 37-31 here in Foxborough. They dropped to 3-6. They're in last place. They will be taking on Miami on Thursday night. By the way, next up for the Jets, the St. Louis Rams, who currently are beating the San Francisco 49ers 14-7. Second half just started in San Francisco. The Rams have knocked Alex Smith out of that game. He's one of two starting quarterbacks knocked out in these late games. Michael Vick knocked out as well. So just a few NFL news and notes to be kept up to speed on. Let's hit some of these emails. Webradio@patriots.com. That's where Dean writes in. Adam, two questions. One, is Logan Mankins a better option for the offensive line at 60% health than Nick McDonald is at 100%? And I would say unequivocally, yes. I understand what you're getting at. And if you want to put it to me like, should Mankins sit out to get healthy? That I understand. But if you're asking me who's better, Mankins at 10% or Nick McDonald at 100, I would rather have Mankins out there if that's your question. Second question. What's up with Tom and his phantom pressure dance? He looks like Ace Ventura Pet Detective when he's shadow boxing.
Been going on for a while, though.
It's, well, when you say a while, it's been going on all year is what you mean, right? You're not saying a couple of years.
Correct. I'm okay, sorry. I realized the fans couldn't see my head bob.
No. But it's just, I just wanted to clarify because I don't remember it from seasons past, but you're right, Kat. We saw it in the preseason. We've seen it all year. And he's not the only emailer to point it out.
Well, he looks like he's ready to stop, drop, and roll.
Correct.
It's like he's on fire.
I wish I had the sack written down. Who got it for Buffalo? I do know that it was the play where Mankins got rolled up on and left the game. And it was Mankins and Wendell who gave up that sack.
Forget about the sack. The touchdown pass, the screen pass to Danny Woodhead, not a screen pass, but the dump down to Danny Woodhead that turned out.
So I thought that was him keeping the play alive in the pocket. I thought that was a nice play by Brady.
It was, but he did that little duck under.
You thought he was
thing,
feeling
and I was
phantom
just,
pressure.
Yeah, I mean, he did like, he does the. He has this weird thing where he won't go down all the way. And now he does sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there, we see more often than not where he'll start to turtle and sort of go into the fetal position, staying on his feet. And then when he looks around for a second and realizes, nobody here.
Right.
Then he comes out of it and makes a throw.
Yeah. Look, you got to wonder why we're seeing more of that from Brady this year. Does he trust his offensive line less? There's no Matt Light. There's no Brian Waters this year, though he was a relatively new addition going back a year. Is it he trusts him less? Is it that he's taken an accumulation of enough hits that he doesn't want to take another one? You know, is it some of that just where he's at in his career? I don't know, but we've certainly seen it more than we've seen it at any other point. Maurice in Alabama writes in, webradio@patriots.com. Guys, everyone is crushing the corners, but these are some of the world's greatest athletes. No one can cover for 6 seconds, and the pass rush is the problem, not the corners. Any quarterback in the league can look like Brady with 6 seconds or more to throw on these guys. They run the 40 in 4 seconds. Well, I understand that. I'm not taking away from their physical attributes, but other teams seem to have it figured out in the secondary, and maybe it's singularly the pass rush. You know, maybe that's the issue, perhaps, but I don't think so. I kind of think the last 2 years the pass rush has been steadily getting better. So, I don't know. I think that sort of coincided with, to me, the secondary looking worse. So I don't totally see it that way. I think the issue is more in the secondary than it is in the front seven. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Brandon's in California. What'd you think of that game today, Brandon?
Oh, man, it was a horrible game on my part. But, yeah, I was just calling because, like, people are complaining about Brady and his phantom, whatever you want to call it. But, like, if you look at it, had he not did that, he probably would have got sacked and it would have been a touchdown. And, like, he did it in the Seahawks game where he pretty much, like, matrixed the guy and went under his arm and got, like, a first down. So, like, I think what he's doing is just keeping the play alive and, like, you know.
Yeah,
doing good at it.
I understand what you're saying, and Brandon, thanks for the phone call. There are times where it's worked. I can't imagine that Belichick sitting there going, and he might tell Tom, hey, the play worked, and, you know, good play there, Tom, but that's not what we want. You know, we don't want you feeling phantom pressure and dancing around in the pocket, because you know what? Once you start doing that, your old linemen don't know where you are. You know, it makes it harder to block for. So, again, I said this earlier. I don't know why Tom Brady seems to be bailing out a little bit more. He's taken too many hits. Is that what it is? Or does he just not have the same level of faith in his offensive line that he's had in years past? Or is there really just that much more pressure? And now that the pressure is getting there a little bit, this is what Tom Brady does, and it just hasn't been that way in the past. I don't know the answer. But I do wonder, and it's apparent when you watch these games, we're seeing it more and more than we've ever seen Brady do this in the past, if we've really ever even seen it in the past. I certainly don't remember it from previous seasons. Not to say he never did it, but not at this level. Colin writes in from Glasgow, Scotland. Adam, I love Tom, and I think he's still good enough to go toe-to-toe with one of the big NFC quarterbacks. I think so, but some of his games may say otherwise. Thanks. I don't think it's been the... I know the numbers are good, and I know Mike Reese did something on this during the bye week or earlier this week, whatever it was, on ESPNBoston.com, how Brady's numbers stack up with some of his other seasons, and the numbers are right there. I don't know. With Brady, I think you always go back to the record, and they were 5-3 through the first 4 weeks. I thought he had a decent but not great game today. You know, one of the few games that you really look at where I thought he played incredibly well are those games where he really, like, I thought the Denver game was probably the best game he's played this year. It was just this super fast pace where Brady was running it. I thought that was a great game by him. So there are some great games mixed in there, but I think he'd be the first to tell you. I don't think it's his greatest year, and I don't think he does either. Mike writes in from Ottawa, Adam, what I don't like is the whole front seven not tackling. It's more frustrating than giving up large passing yards when they grind you with the running game. And when you see potential tackles for a loss turned into huge games, and I know one of the plays he's talking about was that C.J. Spiller run for 25 yards or whatever it was towards the end of the game. He was basically stacked up.
Like our boy Bill Berry. Can anyone tackle C.J. Spiller?
Yeah, exactly. He was basically stacked up, and he turned it into 25 yards down the field. So I understand that frustration. What didn't help was their third down defense. You could see Wilfork angry on the sidelines, and for good reasons. It looked rather not from a lack of talent, but simply lack of effort. They looked soft. Well, for a piece of irrelevant news that will make everyone feel better, the Giants got pounded. And again, that's Mike from Ottawa writing in. They did, man. I have a number of Giants friends or Giants fans that are friends of mine, and they are scratching their head after these last couple of weeks. You let Pittsburgh come from way back, and then you get waxed by the Bengals today. I can see that being frustrated. So Patriots fans are going to take some solace in that. I guess you can take solace in it, just like you can feel good about a win, you know? Maybe it's not the way you drew it up. Maybe it was a little closer than you anticipated. Certainly more yards and more points. But still, 37-31, you beat the Buffalo Bills. You move to 6-3. You're 3-0 in the division. And Andrew Luck and the Colts are looming next. That'll do it for the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. I'll talk to you during the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social next Sunday when the Patriots take on the Colts here at Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com.
I could have used a little more cowbell. I gotta have more cowbell.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots take on rookie quarterback Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is set for 4:15 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 2 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.